Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Zach Drew. You know, I'm just grateful that every week, week after week, we have hundreds of people that want to tune. I just can't believe it. People want to tune in and watch. Like, wow, that's awesome. And I'm so grateful for you. I thank the Lord for you that you tune in each and every week. I thank you for your support. I want to thank you guys for your encouraging comments within our videos, in the descriptions, everything. Whenever you encourage me, that it means the world to me. A lot of people think, you know, well, gosh, Zach's on television. I'm sure there's thousands of people that see and watch him and encourage him on a daily basis, you know, and that's just not true. You know, we're on an island, so to speak. You know, they call us, they call on-air people talent. My goodness, is that word used loosely, because I would not consider myself like a talent. But we're an island, you know. Media is a type of medium between the message and the masses. And whenever the masses reach back out and encourage me, I just really do appreciate that. You know, it's been a difficult year. A lot of things have happened in the ministry. You know, we took a big financial hit last year. And, you know, you're just never underestimate the power of a well-timed, encouraging word. Listen, I want to talk about today. I titled the program, Biden's Title IX Tyranny, the sinister plot to erase God's order. Now, I need to make this clear. This, what we're talking about, this is an attack on gender, and it's an attack on God's ordained gender roles. And I don't want to make everybody mad right off the top, but modern day feminism is irreconcilable with the Word of God. All right? So let's just say that right now. Let's talk about this. So last Friday morning, the Biden administration finalized sweeping changes to Title IX, expanding federal legal protection against sex and gender discrimination in schools. So Title IX is a federal law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in any education program or activity receiving, and this is the power word, any of those that receive federal financial assistance. Okay. Now, the rules of these new sweeping changes, they take effect on August 1st. So basically right before anybody starts school for the 2024 year. Okay, so it's going to require schools to respond quickly to sex and gender discrimination, expand LGBTQ rights, and give those who self-identify as victims more power in sexual abuse and discrimination claims. This applies to everyone. It applies to public, elementary schools, secondary schools, universities, colleges, vocational schools, libraries, museums, any type of educational agencies, and even private schools that receive any federal financial assistance from the U.S. Department of Education in any kind. So now I'm reading the story, like, oh my gosh, okay, so it was stalled in 2022. And so he came back and he said, okay, listen, we're going to make these sweeping changes. And he did it. Okay. It's there. It's happening. It's taking effect at the end of, in August of this year. Now my kids, they go to a private Christian school. Right now they're in preschool. Anessa will go to kindergarten next year. So I reached out to the board, one specific board member, and I said to him, school is called Decatur Christian School, DCS. I said, does DCS receive any type of federal financial assistance? And if they do, what are you guys going to do? All right, because here's the thing. I would have to figure out how the kids are going to be homeschooled. Like, and And I am such an advocate of homeschool. I'm such an advocate of private Christian schools and homeschool. And I was thinking to myself, how this answer comes back is going to change the life in this home. And I said, do they receive it? And I sent him the article and I said, this applies to private schools. And he responded to me, listen, we have already collectively agreed as a board in complete unity that the moment something like this was put forth, that from that moment, we would forever, never take another dollar of federal financial assistance. Come on now. I mean, that's just awesome. You know, but the thing is this though. So they will suffer, right? Children will suffer. And it costs, and even money, financially, it costs to be a conservative today. It does. It costs to be a Christian, and it's going to get worse. You know, Riley Gaines on the subject had this to say on her X account. The Biden admin has just officially abolished Title IX as we know it. Now sex simply means gender identity. So there is no such thing as male and female. They've abolished it in school. In America, in the United States of America, they have now abolished in any schools that receive financing or finances money from the government that, hey, nope, there's no such, it's just all about gender identity. What do you identify? So in a nutshell, the new rewrite means this, all right? So that means this, men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Whoa! Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women. Students and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. If the guidelines above are ignored or even questioned, then you can be charged with harassment. So Title X was literally passed into law in order to protect women. Yet somehow Joe Biden has managed to so mangle and distort even that law so that now its chief purpose is to let men invade their bathrooms, locker rooms, and other private spaces. Wow, it's remarkable how idiotic, it's remarkable how regressive the so-called progressive ideology has become, because every progressive victory simply, it takes away, it takes steps backwards from their prior achievements. U.S. Representative Mary Miller, she's amazing. She's here in one of our representatives here in Illinois. I've shared the stage with her many times. She's an awesome woman. She released the following statement in response to this foolishness. The Biden administration's Title IX rule erases the definition of sex and creates an imaginary gender identity category that ignores the biological differences between male and female. The radical redefinition of gender by Joe Biden will force young girls to share bathrooms and locker rooms with men, which will enable sexual predators to prey upon our daughters and granddaughters. Listen, it is like if you are a pervert in America, it's like the time to be alive, right? All perverts throughout American history would have looked forward to the day of the 2020s in America, because it's your hour. If you're a pervert, you're protected now. Isaiah 5:20. They will call the good things evil and the evil things good. Title IX exists to protect women and girls from discrimination and abuse, but by allowing men to redefine themselves as women, Joe Biden is permanently erasing protections for our daughters. I will be introducing the legislation required to block Joe Biden from erasing Title IX protections for our young girls. Or for our girls, and I urge parents across the country to stand up and defend your daughters from this radical attempt by Biden to force men into girls' spaces. Former Educational Secretary Betsy DeVos also slammed the new Title IX rules, saying the statute created to protect women would now be used to harm them. She said this, "I never thought I'd see the day where Title IX would be used to harm women, but sadly, that day has come." Davos, who ushered through the Educational Department's 2020 rulemaking on Title IX, said in a statement, "The Biden administration's radical rewrite of Title IX guts the half century of protections and opportunities for women and callously replaces them with radical gender theory, as Biden's far left political base demanded." The Independent Women's Forum issued a press release condemning this action by Biden, saying, "Unilaterally rewrites the landmark sex equality law and undermines women's rights, free speech, and due process. This new omnibus rule, which governs all aspects of the educational experience, turns Title IX on its head through extra statutory regulations that require schools to allow males to identify into women's spaces, opportunities, and athletics." So here, the bottom line that I'm trying to make right now is that these new rules will force government schools and any entity receiving federal financial assistance nationwide, including private schools, to bow before socially constructed gender identities and sexual perversions that now dominate the education system. The rules may also be used to overturn state laws banning males in women's sports. Feminists should be infuriated, but they aren't. Why? When their right to abortion was granted in 1973, they cheered, celebrated in the streets. When it was overturned in the streets in 2022, they protested in the most vulgar of ways. And right now, they are taking, and I'm talking to the feminists, they're taking your scholarships now. Men are. Your sports. Your bathrooms, your locker rooms. These men are taking them from you. Even by allowing men on women's teams in the NCAA, by the way, is denying women roster spots, playing time, and opportunities, which would literally be defined as sex discrimination. But no uproar. No outcry. Where are you? All you have fought for so desperately is going down the drain. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense, at least unless there are other elements at play. The only uproar I've seen are from powerful, strong women, amazing women. But there's a common denominator amongst those women. It's that they have distanced themselves from the feminist movement. The actual feminists? Mm-mm. And oh my gosh, I mean, what even is a feminist today, right? I mean, you have liberal feminism, you have Marxist and socialist feminism, you have moderate feminism, you have postmodern feminism, you have separatist feminism, you have cultural feminism, you have eco-feminism. I mean, you literally have probably 25 more other feminisms, feminist groups. And let me say this, am I for equality between men and women? Absolutely. And throughout history, we haven't always got it right, but God has. From the beginning of time, God clearly stated that, well, it says God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. So let me be absolutely clear whenever I say I believe in equality between man and woman. Men and women. I mean, the Bible's clear. Equality. But whenever we read that scripture, it's about equal value. We are equally valuable humans. So whenever I say I'm for equality between men and women, I mean we are equally valuable humans. The man and the woman were created by God to be equal in value, but different in roles. God didn't design us to be the same. He didn't design us to do all the same things. He created one male and one female with differing roles and jobs. He created two different genders on purpose, but for a purpose. The man and the woman were created by God to be equal in value, but different in roles. And most feminists, well, they aren't too fond of God's design for gender, because their movement was birthed from Satan. Now, here's the thing. So what the public sees is that, you know, women want equal pay. Well, you can't argue really against that, right? Equal pay, sure. You know, what the public sees is that women, you know, they want to be, you know, free from certain social structures. Okay, well, that's certainly reasonable. But it goes way beyond that. It's evil. And listen to me. Once you understand that it's the spirit world that's behind this, that then explains, right? Here it is. Bold it, underline it. That then explains the deafening silence from feminists. That is why the feminists are, as it would appear, taking one for the team. Because even though this takes some things away from biological females and it sacrifices some of their own causes, their own advances, and is giving them to biological men who say they're women, well, at the end of it, they are still okay with it. Why? Because it's spiritual. Why? Because it still destroys gender. It destroys gender. Therefore, destroys gender roles. Therefore, destroying marriage and destroying the family and destroying God's ordained institutions. These are Satan's goals being carried out by his people. It's a spiritual battle that we are in. I want to read this. This is a little excerpt from a sermon from John MacArthur. He says this: Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. That is where the battle is fought. It is a spiritual and supernatural battle of ideologies. Listen, ideologies that men have concocted under the influence of demons. Satan concocts the ideologies. They become the doctrines of demons. They are espoused through those who represent Satan's domain. Fortresses are built out of these ideologies. They are solid in their foundation. They are rooted in the world and in the culture. And we have to go after them with supernatural weaponry. And what is our goal? The end of verse 5, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. One of the great fortresses that exists today is the feminist agenda. Radical feminism has so brainwashed our culture that church leaders and church members have even capitulated to the lies. And as a result, marriage and the family, the primary building blocks of social and moral order, are in shambles. Much of this can be laid at the feet of the feminist movement, because it has overturned the thinking of women so dramatically that they have abandoned their God-intended role, and consequently the family has felt the consequences. Unthinking believers, untaught Christians, have become prey to the ideology of the feminists. And frankly, most of us probably have no real idea of what the feminist agenda is at its core. It is frightening, and it is fatal. That was taken from a sermon, like I said, from John MacArthur, that he gave in the year 1995. There's another thing. I'm going to switch gears. There is something else I want to talk about as well on today's program. And I literally right before, I mean, gosh, probably 2 hours, an hour and a half before I started to broadcast this episode, I found out that Biden has just banned TikTok. It won't go into law until 2025, but Biden has essentially, and we're going to look into it just a little bit, banned TikTok. And I have talked about this on the program before, why I think banning TikTok is a bad idea. So the article, TikTok is now vowing to challenge the unconstitutional law that could ban the app from the U.S. So TikTok vowed Wednesday, which is April 24th, to challenge a law that could potentially ban the popular social media app in the U.S. This unconstitutional law is a TikTok ban, and we will challenge it in court, a spokesperson said in a statement. We believe the facts and the law are clearly on our side, and we will ultimately prevail. President Biden signed a law Wednesday, April 24th, requiring TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance to divest from the app or face a ban on U.S. devices and networks. The measure was part of a larger $95 billion foreign aid package that provided long-sought additional funding to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Although an earlier version of the legislation passed by the House ran into opposition in the Senate, the measure sailed through the upper chamber Tuesday, the 23rd of April, as part of the foreign aid package. The bill was amended to extend the length of time ByteDance has to sell TikTok from roughly 6 months to up to a year. Now, supporters have argued the legislation is necessary to mitigate national security and data privacy risks from the app, while critics, including TikTok, have contended that it raises free speech concerns. So yes, like I said, supporters have argued the legislation is necessary to mitigate national security risks. That is why, you know, I guess, you know, doesn't really make a lot of sense to me that if TikTok is such a threat to national security, then why are they waiting 12 months to ban it? Okay, but anyway, banning TikTok is a bad idea. And this is an opinion. An opinion is just that. It's subjective. My opinion can be different than your opinion. But like I said, I did a show on this several weeks ago. We are empowering the government to remove an entire platform from the internet. Even though the bill, as it's written, only applies to platforms that are, quote, controlled by foreign entities, you have to wonder how far that limitation can be stretched. Right? So they're banning an entire platform. 170 million Americans have a TikTok account. 170 million. There are 7 million small businesses on TikTok. So whether, you know, maybe that doesn't outweigh the negative in your mind. Maybe it doesn't really in my mind either, but the one that does, I just see the one point. I don't want the government to have that power. I don't. I don't want the government to have that power to delete an entire platform. And, you know, I don't care if they say, you know, this law's, it's only for ones that are controlled by foreign entities. Think about the CIA's deep state PSYOP that convinced probably more than half of the country that Donald Trump and Russia were colluding and that Russia, you know, basically owned the White House and they interfered with our elections. That was all false. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing. But this is what the CIA does. This is what the deep state does. They perform massive psyops on our entire country to sway and form public opinion, right? So they can do these things. They can say, well, they can make up anything they want. People are just stupid enough to believe it. So it's really hard to be reassured that given this vast new authority that we apparently are giving our government to ban the most popular social media app on the planet, that the government wouldn't try to ban maybe other platforms that they disagree with. First and foremost being Twitter, X, right? Elon Musk, which is far more inconvenient for them. I think in the near future we can now kiss, we can kiss Brighton goodbye. We can kiss Rumble, outlets like Band.Video, whether you agree with them or not, doesn't matter. Truth Social, all these goodbye as well. And so, and you know, and it's like even the Republican Party, the conservatives are divided on this issue. Well, I don't want China to have my data. If you already knew the data that your data and how it's being used against you right now, it's just such a weak argument. It is. You know, I don't even know if I have time to do this one, but there was one more thing that I wanted to show on today's program. So I'm going to read this through fast. About abortion. Abortion is going to be obviously a big topic. It's a spiritual topic for you and I as believers. And it's going to be a big topic in this year's election as well. So about 10 days ago, Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update, it ridiculed Donald Trump's position on abortion, where he asserted that abortion laws should be left up to the states. So co-host Colin Jost jumped in to defend Democrats on the issue, claiming that they never supported late-term abortion to begin with. Here's a quick clip of that.
This week, Donald Trump said that he supports abortion laws being decided by the states instead of the federal government. But why stop there? Why not go even smaller and leave it up to the counties or the city? Or even better, take the government out of it completely and leave the choice about what women can do with their bodies to the person who knows what they could do with them the best, their husbands.
In a video on Truth Social, Donald Trump falsely said that Democrats support abortion up to the 9th month and beyond, saying the baby is executed after birth. But he only thinks that happens because when Trump was a baby, a bunch of time travelers showed up trying to kill him.
So he said Donald Trump falsely said that Democrats support abortion up to the 9th month and beyond, saying that the baby is executed after birth while smiling and giggling. Okay, so he was saying, Donald Trump is a crazy man. We've never said that. Of course, that is an absolutely unbelievably easy thing to disprove. That is a horrible talking point. One famous clip is of the former governor of Virginia on a show supporting a late-term abortion bill. Listen to this.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
He said the infant would be kept comfortable. How evil, how wicked. And many, many critics state that the former governor is referring to exclusively to non-viable infants when he clearly stated within the video, within his own words, that it was also about babies with abnormalities as well. In 2020, two bills banning most late-term abortions blocked by Senate Democrats. They're evil. It's wicked. And we need to fight against these things. So many of the things that we're seeing in the world, it's easy to look at them in the natural. But as Christians, we can't. We've got to understand that there are powerful forces behind these issues. And that is why we, as the body of Christ, must put on our spiritual armor to fight these wars in front of us. I am totally out of time for today. There was a couple more things I wanted to cover, but maybe I'll save it for next week. Hey, I love you guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.